M Public Investor 12-03894. Found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. I prefer being called six-pack Sally swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. 9 years after the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, something that cannot be. We will talk about whistleblowers down the road, but we're a few months out from the sentencing of the hoodoo investment advisor. Hoodoo? Voodoo? As you do so well? Yup, someone actually paid victim cash almost $1 million of elderly men and women's life savings. Someone actually paid a scammer in himself, a Buddhist priest, who's anything but, just as he testified under oath in court in trial, that he's a former high school, or I think it was community college, teacher that moved out as far, far, far to the farthest point of America. Well, there you go. He paid people, he said, other Buddhist priests, he said, in India, he said, to cast spells on FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and on the Securities Exchange Commission lawyers that were doing their own type of hoodoo voodoo, as we now understand, in forums that are not law enforcement forums. I guess we could also say that FINRA and the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, specialize in sleight of hand of sorts. I'm a little bit bolder, a little bit blunter, calling it as it is: interfering with justice, obstruction of justice, tampering with witnesses, and tampering with a crime scene and with evidence. So, picking up from where we were last time, well, not quite, our stories will start, will stop, then be picked up again. But there is one thing I can promise you, that life inside of and outside of eavesdropping on the Beltway is anything but boring. With so many stories to tell, stories to avoid being part of, one does themselves best to narrow their POV, point of view, keep it simple, or, as a wonderful man said, stay on point. Words I remind to myself daily, remind to remember myself what point I am on, easily, simply, as already said time and again, shutting down FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, a private business, a non-profit, one of 29 categories of Internal Revenue Service. And in addition to shutting down the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, making sure that not one more investment client victim appears again on American Greed, ever. Did I tell you I reached out to American Greed about the Don Bennett matter, the RBC matter, and my being found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up? Yes, I did. Sometimes it seems that there's almost no one I have not reached out to, almost no one that is that makes crime their platform. I am a slow learner. It took time and judicial opportunity for me to stop saying, you gotta do the story, I'm living serial. You know that podcast. Oh, never heard back from them either. And then one day, I knew my own advice I had to take. The opportunity window opened. Voila. There is something to be said for the people making threats against you, being named in the federal case as persons the court has their eye on for taking Ponzi scheme cash as payment to protect the Ponzi scammer from predictably the inevitable prison. Somehow, watching prison garb in the courtroom as often as I was entitled to see it the past 2 years, somehow pink does not become prison garb. But then who am I to criticize? Just a once-upon-a-time designer turned whistleblower. C'est la vie, c'est la guerre. We are stepping back to Lucia versus the SEC. The investment advisor, Raymond Joseph Lucia, who sued the Securities and Exchange Commission for action the SEC took against him. Lucia, in the SEC, ALJ, Administrative Law Court. Raymond Joseph Lucia, Sr., is an American former certified financial planner, according to his Wikipedia page, which everyone puts up as a defense, it seems, this day almost. He's a former RIA, Registered Investment Advisor, an author, radio personality, and television host. Yes, patterns. Dawn Bennett, too, considered herself a radio host, a radio personality, and TV, too. June 2018, the San Diego Tribune reported, discredited financial advisor Ray Lucia wins his case against the SEC before the U.S. Supreme Court, but can't yet spike the football. Not quite. In April 2018, the same San Diego Tribune had reported financial seminar advisor, another common thing shared with Dawn Bennett's, Ray Lucia, it says, his battle against the Securities and Exchange Commission lands in the lap of the U.S. Supreme Court justices. The Supremes had heard an appeal from Ray Lucia, who was fined $300,000 and barred from working as an investment advisor, after Ray's lawyers decided to challenge the constitutional status of in-house judges who handle complaints at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Oh, that was the same tactic taken on by Dawn Bennett and other financial advisors. We all know where Dawn Bennett ended up. We all know where Ray Lucia didn't end up. The SEC keeps criminals away from cops. And by the time a Securities and Exchange Commission, ALJ, Administrative Law Judge, renders an opinion, doesn't order, there's no authority or ability to incarcerate. The AL judge orders a fine being paid, and we already know where that fine goes, into the SEC slush fund. But the statutes are blowing. Cops, at that point, getting wind of the case, say, we can't do anything. Oh, I showed them they can. I gave cops papers from the SEC initial default decision on Dawn Bennett's matter that says that the statutes were frozen. How does it go? Equal justice under law? That's written on the backside of the Supreme Court on First Street. One law for all. Well, all for one for all too, but that's not how it goes with Wall Street and Main Street. You and I are held accountable to a higher standard. I'm setting out to change that. So going back, the SEC Securities and Exchange judge found that Raymond Joseph Lucia misled prospective clients with his buckets of money retirement plan. Sounding familiar to the SEC Securities and Exchange Commission versus Dawn J. Bennett, Bradley Maskow, Bennett Group Financial Services, and DJB Holdings. Yep. But those aren't the only people that work in that company. Yeah, I know there's a lot of things we're going to circle back to eventually. We got time. We have time. You will learn. Please listen, share. You will understand that the SEC picks the sacrificial lambs. And what sits in the public record are the sacrificial lambs, not the client associates, the interns, even the CEOs. Those curated papers the SEC has their lawyers create, those curated papers create false record and false precedents. There is something to be said about the power of actual FINRA Financial Industry Regulatory Authority and SEC Securities and Exchange Commission documents being put into the paws of court clerks. Court clerks read. For the first time, maybe, reading something other than amicus brief, friend of the court filings paid for by the Wall Street pit bulls, paid to dare down justice. You gotta believe in the ability of David to take on Goliath. I prevailed. 3 cases to date. SEC versus Lucia, score. Epic Systems versus Lewis, score. The subsequent arbitration win for Wall Street investment clients, score, score, score. Yeah. Go, team investment client. Go, go, go. You think this dispute of the Securities Exchange versus Lucia has affected more than 1,300 cases the SEC has admitted are pending at the Securities and Exchange Commission. And there are a dozen or so on appeal in the federal courts. The former Securities and Exchange Commissioner Michael Powauer, the one who targeted military bases to talk to Marines, Air Force, Army, when they are the very constituent, the very community that are being targeted by the securities broker-dealer firms only that the SEC has authority over. Talk about conflict of interest, and we'll talk about the fact that through FOIA, I have yet to find any order that authorized Michael Powauer to go out there and cannot get receipts accountable for those trips. We all know and have heard stories about how government people plan trips and then plan work around it. I am holding out that maybe one day I will get those receipts. No. If you can't get them under FOIA, they don't exist. What was it that OJ's lawyer said? If the gloves fit, you have to acquit? Well, let's tweak that here. If there ain't no receipts, there are no receipts. Now, going back to the admitted cases comment of what's currently at the Securities and Exchange Commission, Michael Powauer did tell me at an event up at American University where I had gone specifically to talk with them, and he did tell me that the Securities and Exchange Commission cherry picks the cases it takes to trial, and it picks cases that have celebrity to it. They're trying to prove the SEC that they're doing their job, earning the money, the taxpayer money that's being paid out to them. Ironically, considering the new constituency of the Democrats on the Financial Service Committee, a proponent of more money for the SEC has been Maxine Waters. Just tossing that out there, because we now have cases proven that never should have gone into a court that isn't a court, but kept crimes away from cops. The Securities Exchange decision of them versus Lucia has upended administrative hearing systems across the government at other agencies. The Federal Deposit Insurance Company, the FDIC, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB. These systems, just like the SEC, that they were doppelgangers of, just rolled out the same thing the SEC has. So when you push one agency for its performance art, which is what the ALJ administrative law courts are, well, the same thing is going to happen. It will ripple over to the agencies that copied and pasted into the new agency's handbooks. It really is that simple. The plain, simple fact clearly is the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, is not law enforcement. The plain, simple fact is the Act says this agency, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, had to call cops. The plainer, simpler fact is Wall Street, securities broker-dealer firms, investment advisory firms, investment advisors, RRs, and CAs as registered representatives and client associates are called in the Royal Bank of Canada multi-state settlement that came down. I think they said the tip came in 2008 as the market was crashing. I wonder where that tip came from. But the decisions, the multi-state settlement, was not released until 2014. 2015. I can't even balance a checkbook, but I can do that math. 7 years of more victims. They never told victims. They never told clients. They never told prospective clients. The challenge was figuring out who the they was. Nailed it. We'll talk in time. But the plainer, simpler fact stays that multi-state settlements over the aforementioned is the oversight of the state, not federal law. Crimes are reported to cops. The goal of what the SEC, the Securities and Exchange, and FINRA forced me to accept is my mission is to put crime back into the hands of local law enforcement, who will then feed the relevant crimes to state and to federal when determined it is their oversight. But, you know, there's a whole lot of learning to go on. Quoting Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies, Granny was one smart cookie, underestimated by some who met her. I've come to accept that being underestimated is an asset. The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission employees, the FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, a private business, the SEC and FINRA did not call the cops. The SEC did not comply with the Securities and Exchange Acts that said they have to tell related entities. They did not. Confirmed by FOIA in the Bennett matter, the SEC did not tell other agencies about the tips that came into them. They didn't even tell the Department of Justice. The greater loss of that is going to be one interesting conversation for us. If you do not tell the DOJ, the Department of Justice, that you have a constituency, a community of victims, the victims do not get the benefit of the setup of the DOJ to deal with victims' rights. Do you know that as a financial crime victim not reported to the DOJ, you don't even get an invitation to the National Crime Victims Week that I used to cover? That's how I know about it. You don't get a benefit of consultation, help, referral. You do not. What you get instead from FBI agents on cases are letters I have seen the victims get telling victims, we're not your lawyers. You have to talk to a lawyer. The FBI is not the lawyer for you and me. The FBI are the lawyers for the government. These simple explanations should be shared with victims of financial criminals. Now, I ain't no Beverly Hillbilly, but I do share a 90212 in my past. Not quite a 90210, it's just a two numbers over. But when someone steals your Beverly Hills goat, you don't go to the goat breeding industry. You go to the police. How the H-E double L hockey sticks? Has it become acceptable and not challenged to see what this obvious and do something about righting this wrong is? I have no clue. I am trained to see patterns. And then there's this thing called doing the right thing. So here you and I are here again today. I have my cup of organic tea. What did you pour before we sat down that I hope is calming your nerves? Well, this I have to dish, an OMG, oh my goodness moment, an oh my God, I cannot believe Wall Street did this again moment. No sooner than the ink dried digitally on the Supreme Court, the SCOTUS opinion, the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, are Britaining the SEC versus Lucia matter back into the SEC ALJ Administrative Law Courts. Oops, they did it again. This time, knowing as the whole world now knows what the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, can no longer do, but did. I mean, did I tell you I confirmed via FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, that SEC, Securities and Exchange employees are not above the law? Like, oh my gosh, this counting is public. So pull out a paper and pencil as we talk and keep score, count, because a whole lot of people are going to be eligible to fill the prison slots left vacant by low-level drug offenders getting their get-out-of-jail cards freed. Here we go. Listen carefully. Wind and replay as needed. And that said, I did tell the Supremes what is needed is the criminal component, the felonious accountability for lawyers and others with intent. Breaking laws, the Scotties opined into the law of the land. Scotties? That's my plural for SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States. Now that what I've set into motion, Virginia, is rippling across the land, you know, we have a whole lot of 6x10 vacancies coming up in prisons that Airbnb can't fill, but dumb arrogance can. Dumb arrogance? Yep. Lucia, Bennett, Madoff, Drake, countless others who should have been turned over to cops at the get-go for crimes you and I would go to jail for, but that Wall Street lawyers, writing rules and codes that skirt the law, keep them out of jail. Dumb arrogance? Yup. Keeping these people out of jail cost countless more investment client victims. Now, I say this, I repeat this, there are good investment advisors out there. There are. Finding them, that's the bear we're taking on. So here we go. Hear this. Respondents and the division recognize that, according to Lucia versus SEC 138 SCT 2044 2018, respondents are entitled to a new hearing before another ALJ or the commission itself. 138 SCT at 2055. That's not what the Supreme Court wrote into law. It gets, I can't even say better, but it gets better showing how the Securities and Exchange Commission is skirting law of the land. It continues, respondents knowingly and voluntarily waive any claim or entitlement to such a new hearing before another ALJ or the commission itself. Respondents also knowingly and voluntarily waive any and all challenges to the administrative proceedings or any and all orders that were issued during or at the conclusion of those proceedings, whether before the ALJ, the commission, or any court, based upon any alleged or actual defect in the appointment of ALJ Cameron Elliott, that was the appointed ALJ judge in this matter, That's not what Lucia versus SEC said, but you are hearing firsthand how these Shakespeares, these lawyers, are getting paid per word they create to try to curate the law of the land to benefit their community, the securities broker-dealer firms, and covering the backside, or trying to, covering the backside of the Securities and Exchange Commissions who got caught with their hands down their pants, so to speak. But the SEC, the Securities Exchange, did not have oversight of, and I will read this section to you, respondents have submitted an offer of settlement, the offer, which the commission has determined to accept solely for the purpose of these proceedings and any other proceedings brought by or on behalf of the commission or to which the commission is a party, and without admitting or denying the findings herein, except as to the commission's jurisdiction over them and the subject matter of these proceedings, which are admitted and except as provided here in Section 5, respondents consent to the entry of this order making findings and imposing remedial sanctions and a cease and desist order pursuant to Section 8A of the Securities Act and Sections 15B and 21C of the Exchange Act order as set forth below. Oh my goodness, oh my God, and Jeff Bezos of Amazon is talking about extortion? The offer, the AWC acceptance waiver and consent, you and I don't get to plead that. If we did the same thing these people did, we'd be up the river without a paddle. We'd be wearing black and white stripes, or, as I got to see in the trial and the hearing for the past 2 years, we'd be wearing white, pink, yellow, and neon orange garb instead of street clothing. These offers are extortion. This money goes into what I identified and confirmed is a slush fund. That's victim cash. That's victim cash the SEC says it puts into the Treasury. It does not. We are going to talk about this. We'll pull up our chair one day with our cup of tea and we'll take that topic on too. But are you hearing it yourself? The audacity? The nerve? The waste of taxpayers' money to come up with this crap? That's a legal term. I heard that term in the FINRA arbitration. It was the senior arbitrator, the panel chair, that issued that term, so I can use that here. Total crap, cowpucky, bullwinkies. Oh, my goodness. So it went on, this decision that I found online and shared. Part two said, on the basis of this order and respondent's offer, the commission finds that the SEC does not have oversight of unregistered securities. That is fraud. The SEC has oversight of registered securities. I wonder where the SEC got that from. The DOJ, law enforcement, has oversight of unregistered securities, not the Securities and Exchange Commission. As with the case of Dawn Bennett, she had one entity that was registered with the SEC, only allowed to operate in D.C. It operated everywhere. That would not surprise you that that was allowed by the SEC. There was another entity that actually was selling funds and tied to the Cayman Islands. No action taken about that entity. The Bennett group of funds that the SEC did have oversight of. So continuing reading this order and the respondent's gag, cough, offer, it's extortion. The summary one is, these proceedings arise out of respondent's participation in the offer and sale of Bioelectronics Corporation, a stock in unregistered transactions in violation of the Securities Act. The order goes on to detail the millions of dollars of convertible notes the company Bioelectronics exchanged for loans and stock and sold to third parties. The Securities and Exchange Act press release went into other detail on the involved parties, Ibex LLC, St. John's LLC, Andrew J. Whalen, Kelly A. Whalen, a CPA, and Robert Bedwell, a CPA, the named respondents. Let's step back to Lucia. On June 21st, 2018, before the submission of the respondent's reply, the United States Supreme Court decided, in which the court held inter alia, that commissions were not constitutionally appointed. So get this what the SEC wrote in this matter. It cited SEC versus Lucia, saying that the Supreme Court decided that the commission's ALJs were not constitutionally appointed and that the respondents impacted by the constitutional infirmity, such as the respondents here in this matter of Bioelectronics, the Whalens and Mr. Bedwell, the SEC's ALJ decision said that the respondents are entitled to a new hearing before another ALJ or the commission itself. I read Neil Gorsuch's decision. I'm wondering what I must have been smoking at that time. I don't recall reading that. Do you see for yourself, do you hear for yourself how the law of the land gets tweaked? Covering their backsides, the SEC twerks it, so to speak. Not quite Black China or Cardi B in a battle of the booty style, but geez Louise. So what the commission did, they issued an order further staying the administrative proceedings in the bioelectronics matter, staying the administrative proceedings for an additional 30 days. Unbelievable. And they cite sources in the Investment Advisors Act and the SEC Act, the Securities and Exchange Act, and in the Investment Company Act. Of course you have to have sources. Of course you have to cite sources. But to misstate sources? I don't even know if law's got a charge for that. I think it's called bending the law. In the SEC case, it's more like Calypso. How low can you go? So, August of 2018, again the commission issued another order reaffirming its 2017 ratification of appointments of Chief Administrative Law Judge Brenda Murray, Administrative Law Judges Carol Fox Folick, Cameron Elliott, James E. Grimes, Jason Patil, reappointing them to the Office of Administrative Law Judge in the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and allowed the stay to expire. I don't quite think that's what they had in mind. So what the SEC did is order, with respect to any such proceeding currently pending before an ALJ or the commission, including this matter, that respondents be provided with the opportunity for a new hearing before an ALJ who did not previously participate in the matter. Can you believe that? And the SEC further said that it remanded all proceedings currently pending before the commission, including this matter, to the Office of Administrative Law Judges for this purpose and vacated any prior commission opinion. And this case was reassigned to ALJ James Grimes, who sat over the Don Bennett matter. And soon after, it said in point 30, shortly thereafter, the Division of Enforcement and Respondents reached a settlement in principle, in lieu of the unique procedural circumstances that would require a hearing of this matter, which the Division of Enforcement recommends that the Commission approve. Like, duh. The Division of Enforcement is not law enforcement, and approving settling it. I'm not sure if they paid Bioelectric any money or whether they were taking money for the SEC slush fund from the defendants. But the Division of Enforcement is not law enforcement. Crimes go to cops, and people that cover up crimes for cops are accessories before, during, or after. These men, these women that the Securities and Exchange Commission took away from cops have no criminal record. You're hearing they have no criminal record. None. You and I would have criminal records. If that's not enough, you have to read this section that says Whalen willfully violated Exchange Act Rule 13B2-1, which prohibits, listen carefully, write this down, play this back and write it down, prohibits falsification of an issuer's books and records and false statement by an issuer's officer or director to the issuer's accountant. Oh my goodness, what about falsifying a history, a case, details, facts? What about that? I've told you before, I'll tell you again. Securities and Exchange Commission employees are not above the law. What just makes me fall off my chair here is reading the, in view of the foregoing, the commission deems it appropriate and in the public interest to impose the sanctions agreed to in respondents' offer. Did you hear the words that just have me shaking in my boots? In the public interest? A thief, a person who has violated a federal act, is agreeing to a sanction? Where are the words guilty or not guilty? You and I would be pleading guilty or not guilty. We'd not be given any option of a sanction or without admitting or denying. We would not be agreeing to cease and desist from committing or causing any violations, any future violations. No, no, no. We would not be agreeing to not commit or cause under a violation of a rule. We'd be charged with breaking the law. Meek Mills was charged with breaking the law. The rapper from England is charged with breaking the law. He's not being offered to cease and desist from committing or causing any violations of any rules. If that wasn't enough to have you nibble all your fingernails off your fingers and toes, hear this part. Respondent A. Whalen be and hereby is barred for a period of 5 years from participating in an offering of penny stock, including engaging in activities with a broker, dealer, or issuer for the purposes of issuing, trading, or inducing, or attempting to induce the purchase or sale of any penny stock. Did you catch the words barred? Here again, K. Whalen is barred for a period of 1 year for participating in an offering of penny stock, including engaging in activities with a broker, dealer, or issuer for purposes of issuing, trading, or inducing, or attempting to induce the sale of any penny stock. This is working up such an agitation. I'm most definitely, after we say goodbye for today, you will be coming back, but I am going to have to indulge in comfort food. But of course, yeah. Jeff Bezos, listen here. This is what government blackmail and extortion reads like. I mean, let's be honest between us girls here. If you decide to put a Richard Pick out through the internet and you are a seed of the venture capital company KPCB and you are thinking that your Richard is above being shared, more so when it's your significant other that shared it to, admittedly, at least one friend. There was a Clairol commercial years back. I love it. It was, and She told one person, and those two people told each one person, and those four people, and those four become eight people who share it with 16, who share it with 32, exponentially, algorithmically. It's uncontrollable once it's online. But let's get back to bioelectronics and IBIX and the Securities and Exchange order or opinion, as it is, not an order, an opinion that's online. And it says that the respondents, bioelectronics, IBIX, Whalen and Whalen, shall jointly pay and severably disgorgement of $166,000.640 to the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, for transfer to the General Fund of the United States Treasury, subject to, and it cites the Exchange Acts, and along with $131,120 and $16,640, and that if the payment is not made, that additional interest will accrue. More so, the respondents were also going to pay jointly and severally a disgorgement of $25,000 to the Securities and Exchange Commission for transfer to the General Fund of the United States Treasury, subject to the Exchange Act that it cites. And there's another $2,500 and another $20,000. And it tells how to pay to the account via pay.gov, which is on at the Securities and Exchange website, or a certified check, a bank cashier's check, a United States postal money order made payable to the Securities and Exchange Commission and hand-delivered to Enterprise Services Center. Let's go back to the Don Bennett case, and let's go back to FINRA. FINRA's formula is 1/10. A person relying on statements that are often falsified, a person will be possibly awarded 1/10 on $1 million. That's maybe $100,000 of what disappeared of their life savings. The Securities and Exchange Commission, go look it up online yourself. Victim Peter Phillips, $17.6 million. That's one victim alone out of an acknowledged 1,200 clients that Bradley Maskow testified to the ALJ Administrative Law Judge James Grimes. $17.6 million lost to a Ponzi scammer. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of change for someone to be chumped on. And the award ordered by the ALJ judge, $4.4 million. And what did Judge Palazzini in the federal case, USA versus Don Bennett, say about monies the lawyers were paid with? That would be client cash. Client cash that was addressed by Judge Palazzini in the USA versus Don Bennett, Bradley Maskow, and DJB Holdings. Cash that came from men and women left destitute. There is no making this stuff up. There's the reality, confirmed by FOIA. The SEC did not enter this opinion, this order, into a court. They did not enter the Don Bennett order into a court. If it's not entered into the court, there is no precedence. And judges and victims and lawyers representing victims, the good lawyers representing victims, there's no record. If that's not crazy enough, both the Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, destroy records within 3 to 6 years. If it was in a court, the record would sit in archives. There's one little bit more thing to share before we move on. Call today just a fun time getting together. That is, if you can tell or call exposing crimes that Warren Buffett does not tell investment clients, investment advisors they need to be leery of. You'll find it on my website, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com. You'll be able to read for yourself exactly what took place in the SEC ALJ matter with Don Bennett, where former SEC attorney Michael Rinaldi walked the ALJ judge, Grimes, that is, the same man here. Go read for yourself the transcript bites, screen grabs I've put on my website so you can see for yourself how illiterate these judges in the ALJ kangaroo courts are, and how the Securities and Exchange Attorney staff lawyers are curating, I love that word, curating results the SEC wants. Well, in my matter, Michael Rinaldi, the SEC attorney, came up against an immovable force of one. I had read in the acts that the SEC had the power to wave its magic wand to clear my name. Sent the papers, said, clear my name. They wouldn't, so I'm an immovable force of one who will stop when she has one and makes this a safer world for your and my dollars. Visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com, www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com, and please, LinkedIn. I do send out screen grabs of things I've put up on my site. Everyone knows at least one other person who is a victim of Wall Street crime. Everyone knows at least one other person who sees Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, as a guru. Yes, to where you want to give your money to. Then there's the rest of the story. What do you do when something is wrong? We can lift this matter together. Yes, the matter's not in politics' forefront where it should be. You didn't hear it in the recent elections, in the prior elections. I don't think you can even find in elections where the misbehaviors of the SEC and FINRA, the former NASD, too, where you can ever say that that's been raised as an issue. You work too hard for someone you may have thought was a friend to live the life you've never dreamed of, to live that life off of your time and your dime. So share our podcast. Until next time.